Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Coming to you from Washington, D.C., Congressman Mark Amadei for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you. Safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators. From the exotic to the everyday. Trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management, training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Washington, D.C., we're delighted to welcome back to the program Congressman Mark Amadei.
Good to see you, Sam.
Pleasure. I was disappointed to read The Hill to see that you were not in the 50 most beautiful.
You know, it's like the fourth year in a row that I haven't cracked that top 50. I don't know. The standards just must be pretty high out here or something.
To get serious on you here, in the last 24 hours, the parties have both been trying to raise phenomenal amounts of money. Senator McConnell presiding over a meeting yesterday where John Thune put up $2 million of his own money to go back into senatorial campaigns. Are you seeing similar things on the House side?
Yeah, there's, you know, depending on who you listen to, there's 35 seats in play, there's 15 seats in play. The real number is probably somewhere between those two. It's after Labor Day, so for those stereotypical purposes now, everybody's torque factor, I think, is increasing, and with it, the need for resources.
Nancy Pelosi feels that she may be able to become the Speaker again.
Well, she certainly needs to say that if she wants to raise money, just the same as Paul Ryan wants to say he's going to remain the Speaker. I think when you bore down and look at those races, Republican seats in the House are at an all-time high. It's not unusual to think that that high watermark will be a difficult thing to duplicate. I can tell you just personally, it's like I expect us to lose seats. Hopefully not mine, but I expect us to lose seats. And I think somewhere in the range of 10 to 15 is something that is realistic, barring surprises one way or the other.
Do you think this is in part the Trump factor?
No, you know what, I don't, because I think, you know, and Lord knows there's still a long time in political time left. But he's been through his August swoon, if you will. The polling data, not that the polling data is the gospel that it used to be, but it's reversed course. You know, you've got the drip, drip, drip on the other side. I think you've seen him mature over the last few weeks. I don't know if it's because of the new campaign folks at the top, but if that continues, I think the down ballot effect of that is going to be pretty minimal. And I mean, heck, if he actually wins, then he wins, and so I guess that discussion goes away.
What do you think the odds are of that?
You know what? As I sit here today and watching a race tightening, I think, I don't know what the odds are. It depends on whose campaign executes better in the next, what, we start early voting the 24th of next month. So what is that, 7 weeks away or something like that? So it's who executes better in terms of message and that sort of thing in the coming 6 or 7 weeks.
You know, it's interesting, as you talk about the race tightening, and we talk earlier about the amount of money being raised, it's really a combination of those things. No matter what the polls really say or how accurate they are, both of those things need to happen simultaneously. Polls need to tighten, or races need to tighten, and money needs to be raised.
And the final part I would submit, Sam, is, and you need to do smart things with your resources that you raise. So we have seen in the past people with a heck of a lot of money, and you're going, well, they've got all the money, it's over. If they don't use it smart and they don't message and connect, then it's like, and some names come to mind, which I won't mention because I endorsed one of them.
But an example of that would be in the last cycle would be Sheldon Adelson, who spent $100 million and got zero results.
Yep.
So just because you're the smartest guy in the gaming business and own the largest gaming company doesn't mean to say that you are necessarily spending your money in an astute way.
That's right.
Let's talk about some of the issues that are on your must-do list here as we wind down this session of Congress.
Yep.
For example, Zika funding, is that something that's a priority for you?
Well, you know, Zika funding is an interesting thing because I sit on appropriations. So I was sitting in those committee meetings when this first came up, probably a couple months ago, as memory serves. And it's like, listen, you have $500 million in unused Ebola funds. Use it now. We've looked at the legislation. It's broad enough. You can transfer it tomorrow and start that process, and then we'll follow along because the ask was, I think, $1.9 billion. Right. So here's, you know, nearly a third of that that's available to you tomorrow without any action. Then Tom Cole and his Health and Human Services Subcommittee followed on with most of the rest of that. And so when people say Zika funding, it's like, listen, the House has done its job. We've given you just about everything you asked for. Now, the administration was a little resistant to using that $500 million because that was kind of their slush fund that, well, if we don't need it for Ebola, maybe we can feather it out here, there, or whatever. But with all due respect, Sam, appropriations is the exclusive province of the Congress, except, of course, the Senate's doing their thing over there. But when you say, is it a priority for me, my response is, listen, we've prioritized it and sent it over. I mean, you've asked for $1.8 or $1.9 billion initially. We've given you one way or the other $1.6 or $7 for this coming fiscal year. More to be had if it's needed. But quite frankly, when you listen to some of the testimony, they can't spend it that fast. So my response to you is, yeah, it's a priority. But if you look at the facts, as far as the House appropriations process go, we prioritized it and sent it over.
Okay, so you don't think that this is going to be a major chip in the end game here?
Well, I think it is going to be a chip because the Senate's holding it. So, I mean, in an overall congressional sense, yes. If you want to expand the question to what about in a congressional sense, it's like, yeah, we thought it was important. We sent it over post-haste, made it part of that appropriations process. In the Senate process, which, as you know, is different than ours, they've decided that they're going to take that as a hostage to use it for a chip. So the answer, the short answer to your question is, yeah, it's a chip now.
All right, let's take a break. More with Congressman Mark Amadei when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is sponsored by Valley Electric Association, Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and Capital Partners.
Sully's in Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch NFL and college football. With all-new high-def TVs, including the pop-up, our 17-foot TV wall, and all-new high-def TVs. Cold beer, great food, and new TVs. Tamarack Junction.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message. There's a race going on right now. The world's clean energy superpower is either going to be Germany, China, or us. And I'm going to make sure it's us. From 500 million solar panels installed by the end of my first term to precision manufacturing, we'll beat the competition and create new high-wage jobs. We can do this. Millions of jobs right here in America. That's my plan.
As a veteran, I know serving in the armed forces isn't a job, it's a calling. Joe Heck is a fellow soldier. He knows the dangers we face, and Joe is fighting to give our brave soldiers the best tools and training to keep America safe. And when they're home, Joe Heck wants our veterans to get the care and respect they deserve. To keep America safe, send a soldier. Joe Heck.
I'm Joe Heck, and I approve this message.
Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center. We represent the key component of Governor Sandoval's new Nevada, economic diversification through economic development. National competition demands we must maintain this momentum because newly developing industries require creative solutions. The things you do today will affect our tomorrow. Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Sully's in Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch NFL and college football. With all new high-def TVs, including the pop-up, our 17-foot TV wall, and all new high-def TVs, cold beer, great food, and new TVs, Tamarack Junction.
Closed captioning of Nevada newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation here in Washington, D.C. with Congressman Mark Amaday. The defense authorization, the leaked memo that came out this week that shows that the Pentagon is planning to pit the House against the Senate, a potential of a presidential veto. How does this all fall on appropriations?
Well, Sam, a lot of that centers around the pay raise issue, which is one of the reasons that I voted against last year's omnibus, because, we wanted like a 2.5% increase, and the omnibus cut it down to 1.5%. And my history is not that money's the answer to every question, but really a 2.5% increase. We haven't been exactly moving those folks off the charts. And it's been a fully employed time to be in the Department of Defense, especially those folks that are over in harm's way. And so when we send one over this year that says 2.1,
right,
and it's like, nope, it needs to be, 1.6, it's like, seriously, think about the message that that sends, especially those folks on active duty, but to the nation, where everybody's sitting here talking about, we got 9/11 coming up, veterans issues, the whole thing, Colin Kaepernick and the flag and all that. And it's like, oh, and by the way, the Congress of the United States says about 1.6 is what we're going to fight about. You can't have another half a point to the astronomical figure of 2.1. Seriously. I'm just speaking only for myself. I'm at the point where it's like, listen, it's the smallest military we've had in a long time, and they're doing a heck of a lot, and if we can't show some faith to those folks, 2.1, it's like, come on. That's an awful message to send, saying, no, 1.6 has got to do it.
Well, and the Wall Street Journal comes out with a story a couple of days ago that talks about how private contractors are now flying drones at 2 to 3 times the rate that the military's paying.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, well, like I said, think about the messaging of that, where you're just sitting there going, why are, and it's become political now, and you're going, wow, this is awful politics. I mean, I could see if you were fighting about a 12% raise versus a 6%. This is 1.6 to 2.1. Come on.
So where do you think
tone deaf?
Where do you think it's going to end up?
Well, where I'll be on the thing. I mean, I'm not a one issue guy on any particular large bill, but that'll be a big issue for me on the thing in terms of I think they've earned 2.1 in the overall scheme of things. I am hoping that at the end of the day that there are enough people over on the other side that'll say, listen, this is not the hill to die for in this stuff. I don't care what your politics are. Give those folks phenomenally blue-collar stuff where if you have a bad day, you can basically go to Arlington. Give them 2.1. Seriously.
How do you think the spending bills are going to be handled here? Just continuing resolutions?
I think initially that there is tremendous pressure, especially by the Senate right now, that they want to go home and campaign. So those 33 or whatever that are up, those folks want to be home talking to people that they want to support them when they go into the booth. And so the rumor mill as we talk is Senate's going to get something out by next week. A CR.
Continuing resolution.
Yeah, so the question is, does it go through the end of the year or does it go a couple months into the next administration? Because they want to get the heck out of Dodge.
Okay, what way would you prefer?
I don't like CRs because it basically takes away all of the legislative branch's ability to play, if you will. That's our stick in the game, is appropriating money.
You can't
money.
Do policy.
Yeah, you can't do. It's like it's just an overlay of last year's. For instance, if it goes 6 months, you duplicate those 6 months from the last year. No policy changes. No this, that. Take it away from this. Put it into that. Any of that stuff. But I'm also realistic enough to know it's like, hey, the Senate hasn't even done hardly any of the appropriations bills. So to think that we're going to do an omnibus or 12 appropriations bills in the next 3 weeks, I mean, the House has done their work, but so I think it's a CR.
Okay, so what happens in the lame duck? Does it depend on who becomes president, whether there's more done in the lame duck?
You know what? Everybody's got their theories. I'm sitting here going, well, if it's a Clinton administration, then why would the Democrats be in a hurry in the lame duck in the Senate? Because they can stop it all. Why would they be in a hurry? They can just wait for the continuation of their administration. If it's a Trump one, why would the Republicans be in a hurry to do something to accommodate this administration until January 20th? So my view of the world, since you made the mistake of asking for it, is that lame duck will kind of, you know, we're scheduled for like 1 week in November. You know, you come back after the election and you come for a week and then you're at Thanksgiving. So my prediction for the lame duck is not much. And especially no heavy lifting.
Okay, so no surprises from your point of view.
I just think the history augurs against that.
All right, let's take a break. More with Congressman Amadeus when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Chronic diseases like diabetes,
asthma, and heart disease
are the number one cause of death,
disability,
and rising health care costs
in the United States. Today,
more than 86%.
86% of our health care spending goes to treating people with chronic diseases.
I'm Ken Thorpe, chairman of the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease. As the presidential candidates discuss their plans to address rising health care costs,
ask them how they plan to address the chronic disease problem.
Paid for by the Partnership to Fight Chronic Disease.
Baby, you're not going to go driving right now. You've had a drink.
Will you let go of me?
Give me the keys.
I'm calling the cops. Turn around.
I'm being arrested for
Absolutely.
This?
Put your hands behind your back. Unfortunately, you're arrested for domestic battery. Come this way.
I'm defense attorney Jesse Coulter. Have you been charged with a ridiculous domestic battery like this one? Besides the stigma and loss of rights, you're facing mandatory jail time. I've saved hundreds of people from outrageous domestic battery charges. It's what I do. What's your freedom worth?
Watch Lawyers, Guns, and Money with criminal defense attorney David Houston every Sunday afternoon at 3:30 on KRNV News 4. Is Big Brother watching our every move, tapping into our cell phones and other technologies we pay for? This Sunday, Tony Rucci from Insider Threats Consulting stops by to answer these important questions. Lawyers, Guns, and Money focuses on issues and people that make a difference in your life. Join criminal defense attorney David Houston this Sunday afternoon at 3:30 here on KRNV News 4.
It's Eldorado's Big Night Out, featuring the hilarious Mel Brooks musical that broke Broadway box office records, The Producers, live at the Eldorado Theater through November 13th. Plus, indulge in half-off dining at any of our award-winning restaurants with the purchase of a full-priced show ticket. The Producers through November 13th. For tickets, go to eldoradoreno.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Congressman Mark Amadeus here in Washington, D.C. So no interviews without mentioning Clinton and Trump. Your thoughts on the both of them and where everything stands right now?
Well, I think it's, as we indicated earlier, it's starting to tighten up. I think you're seeing the Trump candidate mature some over even 3 months ago. The drip, drip, drip of Secretary Clinton's issues continues to drip. And I'm not saying that to, I'm just saying those are the realities, I think. And if those things continue, then I think you've got nip and tuck. And sadly, I think you're going to see it get rougher on both sides. Of course, the crescendo is what, the first debate's the end of this month,
right.
I believe.
Right, September.
And so I think that'll create a lot of energy also around it before. We'll see what happens after it. I mean, I think the Trump people hope he continues to mature but is decisive, and that her folks are like, she looks presidential and fends off better than the 16 Republicans did in the primary process the fun and games of being on the same debate stage with Mr. Trump?
It's going to be wild. I predict it'll be the largest audience for a debate ever.
I wouldn't argue with that a bit.
Since taking office in 2009, President Obama has designated more national monuments, 25, than any other commander-in-chief. Do you expect that he's going to declare Gold Butte near the Arizona border as a national monument?
At least. I think there's more to come. It's my speculation that when Harry and the president got together and did Great Basin, that was not the crescendo.
Basin and Range.
That was not the crescendo. It was like, listen, I think there's more to come. I hope I'm wrong. But my concern, though, is, listen, nobody's opposed to monuments. What people are opposed to is surprise monuments, no transparency monuments, no public process monuments. And so when you get those, and then actually when you do something that nobody does anymore, which is read the law, it's like, listen, this was supposed to be stuff that was in danger of being, you know, destroyed or this or that or whatever, as opposed to just, you know, I think the phrase was used at the Tahoe Summit, well, he has a pin. And so it's like, well, that's good that he has a pin. But, I mean, the lack of any sort of process is what's disturbing.
The lands bill that you helped get passed. Do you think with the retirement of Senator Reid that it's going to be possible to do a lands bill on that scale again in Nevada?
You know what? I would hope so. And it didn't start out that way. Most of the components of that were floating around before I got there. So it wasn't our concept or anything else like that. We were just trying to finish up what was already on the table. But the concept that came out of that unintendedly was, well, instead of doing one for this county, one for that county, one for that county, let's do something comprehensive if it's ready to cover the whole state so we can do it all in one fell swoop. And so if that becomes the new norm, then I think you will see some of that stuff. And actually, that bill was interesting, Sam. 75,000 acres of wilderness and like 20,000 acres of transfers that were economic development related. So it was one of those things where when you look at it, it's like, you know, some of them will have more wilderness, some of them will have less, but the overall process in that's a beneficial thing for everybody around the spectrum in terms of Nevada public lands.
Have you heard about how Pumpkin Hollow is doing in terms of fundraising to be able to get that mine started with the price of copper being so depressed?
You know, it's tougher than they would like, obviously, and that's driven by the price of copper, but they're still, you know, they're still open, they're still cranking, they're doing their stuff. I talked with Tim Dyer a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, I haven't bugged you, but how's things going? And it was like, hey, it's tough because of where copper's at right now, but we're okay, and we're continuing to motor along and that sort of stuff. So I was gratified to hear that because, as everybody knows, I mean, the minerals industry is dependent upon what those are selling for as commodities. And so it's a downtime for copper, but hopefully that cycle will keep going. They've got a good, strong deposit out there. That's not a mystery, so knock on wood, keep going, Nevada Copper.
Do you think it's the value of the U.S. dollar is hurting the mining industry at this point?
Well, that's part of it. You know, when you're competing, though, with folks in terms of South America and then over on the Pacific Rim, the Chinese are trying to do some copper stuff these days. And so anytime that field of competitors grows and they can produce it, if their production costs are less, I mean, those mining folks are good with that adding and subtracting stuff. And so, you know, if it costs more to produce it than you can sell it for, they don't do it. So that's the challenge.
You've mentioned in this past, including on this show, that you might consider running for governor or attorney general in 2018 after you serve, if you're lucky enough to be reelected, another term in Congress. Your Democratic opponent has criticized you for it. Is it something that you would still consider in the future?
Well, first of all, the fact that my opponent has criticized me for trying to be transparent is something that doesn't affect my opinion on any of that. What I said was we are focused completely on trying to be hired again for what would be the fourth time in 60 months, Sam. No one has been more accountable to the voters. You had a chance to fire me every 14 months. Hopefully, the fact that we've been reelected is an indication of the fact that we've done good work. What I've said is we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but that I've also, and I've been criticized for this, saying, hey, Nevada's home. I want to go home at some point in time. And I don't back away from any of that a bit. But while we have the responsibility of representing Nevada in the U.S. House, then we're going to try to do the best job we can of it get on the other side of that. If we're still in the U.S. House, we want to do a good 2 years in that. There's an opportunity for 2018. We'll take a look at it then.
We've got less than a minute here, yep. But I wanted to ask you about Obamacare. As we're seeing huge price increases, yeah. The Nevada Insurance Commissioner was on Newsmakers and was talking about for individuals potentially as high as 14.9% increase, yeah. And about 3.9% for businesses. How much longer can this go before it breaks?
I don't think it can go much longer, Sam. And my statement is not, you know, I've been critical of my own party for saying for 5 years it stinks. It's like, we know that. What's your solution? Now, we finally forwarded something on the House side, but it's like, we haven't started hearings yet. It's like, you've got to start the hearings because this is unsustainable. It was a political solution to a problem of access to health care and cost, which was 11% nationwide at the time. So it's like, hey, Republicans in the House, if you still control it, which I hope they will, you need to get on with those hearings and that. The problem with the Affordable Care Act, Sam, is there was no hearings. So to think that you're going to fix it by having no hearings, to me, is absolute idiocy.
And that's where we have to leave it. Congressman Mark Hamaday, thank you as always, sir.
Thanks,
Sam. We'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers Goes to Washington is sponsored by Valley Electric Association, Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and Capital Partners.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message. Donald Trump says he alone can fix the problems we face. Well, I don't believe that's how you get things done in our country. It takes Democrats and Republicans working together. That's how we got health care for 8 million kids, rebuilt New York City after 9/11, and got the treaty cutting Russia's nuclear arms. We've got to bring people together. That's how you solve problems, and that's what I'll do as president.
It's Thanksgiving in September at Home Solutions at Ace. Come in and get your new dining set at a reduced price. Save anywhere from 10 to 50% now through September 30th. Get this American-made Simmons sofa and love seat. Now just $5.99 for the whole set. And we're extending our buy one, get one free recliner sale from Best Furniture. Home Solutions at Ace also has a complete mattress department with in-stock economical Pro Comfort mattress queen sets starting at just $299. Only at Home Solutions at Ace, the hardware store with an entire furniture center.
I needed them when my car broke down.
I needed them on a Saturday.
When I needed to keep the lights on.
When he broke his arm.
When my pipe broke.
For just 3 days.
Check City. Short-term loans, installment and title loans, check cashing and gold buying.
I just needed them for a couple of weeks.
I needed them at night.
To avoid bouncing a check.
Check City. When you need cash.
It's a grand opening sale at Home Express Kids and Futons, located around the corner from Home Express Furniture and Mattress Center in the Sparks Galleria. Hurry for savings equal to the sales tax during this huge grand opening sale. Queen mattresses starting at only $199. This beautiful four-piece kids bedroom set with mattress only $598. Choose from a large selection of futons, just $198. These grand opening savings will end soon, so see us today. Home Express Kids and Futons, located around the corner from Home Express Furniture and Mattress Center in the Sparks Galleria. You won't believe our prices.
On our next broadcast from Washington, D.C., Congresswoman Deena Titus will join us. We'll see you then.